Been stomping some snakes, huh?
That's right. Looks like you've got some diamondbacks around here.
Hell yeah, we do. Why do you think they call this Rattlesnake Valley?
I didn't know they did.
You're a stranger to these parts, huh? You should have warned your friend what he was getting into, Diana.
He's not my friend. I never saw him before until a few minutes ago.
Is that so? And here I thought your uncle had gone and hired himself a fast gun.
He's a stranger here, Malone. Why don't you let him just turn around and ride away?
Why, who's stopping him? You just go right ahead and mount up, mister. We wouldn't want to keep you from going back to wherever you came from.
The kid had a feeling that if he got on the buckskin and headed west through the pass, he wouldn't make it 20 yards before he had a bullet in his back.
What if I want to ride on down the valley?
Well, I ain't so sure that'd be a good idea. We got all the people we need in the valley right now.
It's a public road, isn't it?
Not exactly. There's supposed to be a marker here, so folks will know they're entering Trident Range, and they'd be better off turning around.
That's not true. The boundaries of your ranch don't extend this far, Malone. You're claiming range that doesn't belong to you.
I don't like being called a liar, even by a pretty girl like you, Miss Starbird.
The kid had noticed the brand on the horses the men rode. It was a line that branched and curved into three points.
Neptune's trident.
You know of it?
Neptune was the Roman god of the sea, and he was usually depicted carrying a trident like the one you're using as a brand. The Greeks call him Poseidon.
Well, didn't expect to run into a man who knows the classics out here in the middle of this godforsaken wilderness.
The kid didn't waste time explaining about his education. He knew that he and Diana were still balanced on the knife edge of danger from those men. Yet there was something about Malone, something about the way he looked at Diana, that told he didn't want to hurt the young woman. The kid's own fate was another story. He had a hunch Malone would kill him without blinking an eye, if the whim struck to do so.
Is there a town in the valley?
Aye, Bristol, about 15 miles east of here.
I need to replenish my supplies. My horse could use a little rest before I ride on. I'm not looking for trouble from you or anyone else, Malone. Just let me ride on to the settlement, and in a few days I'll be gone.
Are you sure Owen Starbird didn't send for you?
Never heard of him until now.
Well...
Malone scratched at his beard and hesitated, as if he were considering what the kid had said. While that was going on, the little man in gray turned his horse from the trail and started riding around the area, his eyes directed toward the ground as if he were searching for something. After a moment, he found it. He reined in, dismounted, and reached into the brush to pick up the skull. He turned and held it up to show the others.
Look at this, Terrence.
My marker. Part of it, anyway.
Only one set of fresh tracks coming from the west, Terrence, and the bones were there earlier. I seen them with my own eyes.
That means you disturbed my marker, mister. What is your name, anyway?
It's Morgan.
I've been known to let travelers use this trail, Mr. Morgan, if they can pay tribute. I'm afraid I can't do that with you, though.
Just as well, because I don't intend to pay you one red cent.
Destroying my marker is like a slap in the face, Morgan, and I can't allow you to go unpunished for that. You can go on down the trail, but you'll have to go past either Greavy...
He nodded to the small, gray-clad gunman.
...or Wolfram.
A jerk of the bearded chin indicated the bald-headed man.
Guns or fists, Morgan. It's up to you.
Wolfram held up his right hand and opened and closed it into a fist as he grinned at the kid. He flexed those strong, knobby-knuckled fingers. Greavy's face was cold and expressionless. He was clearly the fast gun of the bunch. The kid was confident that he could beat Greavy to the draw. But if he did, that didn't mean the others would let him pass. They might just use the shooting as an excuse to kill him. But if he took on the bruiser called Wolfram and bested him in single combat, that might be different. The rest of them might be impressed enough by such a victory to let him go. More importantly, such an outcome wouldn't expose Diana Starbird to the danger of flying bullets.
I have your word of honor that if I defeat one of them, you'll allow me to ride on to Bristol?
Word of honor. You hear that? If Morgan lives, no one bothers him. Today.
And Miss Starbird comes with me. Either to the settlement or wherever else she wants to go.
Diana knows I'd never harm a hair on her head. And none of my men would dare to do so either. I think the world of her.
Then you wouldn't want to hold her against her will, would you?
You don't have to do this on my account, Mr. Morgan. I'll be all right.
You don't want to stay here, do you?
Well, no.
Then you're coming with me.
It's mighty confident you are that you're going to live through this. Greavy's a talented man with a gun. And I seen Wolfram break bigger fellows than you in half with his bare hands.
I'll risk it.
The kid took off his hat and handed it to Diana, who had a worried look on her face as she took it. The kid didn't want to demonstrate his own gun-handling prowess just yet, since it might come in handy later if he needed to take them by surprise. So he unbuckled his gun belt and handed it to the young woman as well. Then he stripped off his coat and dropped it on the ground.
I'll take on Wolfram.
Grinning, Wolfram slid the rifle he carried into its saddle boot and swung down from the back of his horse. He didn't wear a handgun, but he had a knife sheathed at his waist. He removed the sheath from his belt and tucked it into a saddlebag, then took off his derby and hung it on the saddle horn.
I'm gonna enjoy this.
He turned toward the kid, who was rolling up his sleeves, while Diana stood there looking more frightened by the second. Wolfram started forward, moving at a slow, deliberate pace as he approached the kid. He was still grinning and flexing his fists. The kid stood there, arms at his sides, apparently waiting calmly, even though his blood surged at the prospect of battle. Wolfram charged without warning, swinging a mallet-like fist at the kid's head with surprising quickness. The kid ducked under the looping punch that Wolfram threw and sprang aside from the bull-like charge. Wolfram's momentum carried him past his intended victim. The kid whirled toward him and threw a hard right at Wolfram's jaw. It landed cleanly and rocked his head back and forth. Wolfram went down hard, his face diving into the dirt. The kid leapt on top of Wolfram, digging both knees into the small of the man's back as hard as he could. That gave the kid the chance to slide his right arm around Wolfram's neck from behind. He grabbed his right wrist with his left hand and hung on for dear life as he tightened the pressure on his opponent's throat. He kept his knees planted in Wolfram's back. The kid forced Wolfram's head back harder and harder, and knew that if he kept it up, sooner or later the man's spine would crack. Suddenly, he felt Wolfram's muscles go limp. Either the man had lost consciousness, or he was trying to trick the kid into relaxing that death grip. The kid wasn't going to be fooled. The muscles of his arms and shoulders bunched. One more good heave would break the bastard's neck. The kid's head jerked up. He saw that Malone had dismounted and loomed over him, blotting out the sun as he aimed one of those pearl-handled revolvers at the kid's head. Smoke curled from the barrel as a result of the warning shot Malone had fired.
Let him go! You're gonna kill him! Let him go, Morgan!